What a great day today is. You know, with all the challenges we have in the world, we still meet together, worship, and pray to our Lord. Look around and you see the things that are going on in this world. It's pretty amazing. We're actually watching history in the making as though nobody's ever seen it before. We'll talk about it more in a little bit, but it's a very exciting time right now. We are filled with lots of challenges. And those who know and hear from the Lord are the ones who are going to come through these challenges better than the rest of the world. On a happy note, on April 1st, my father turns 100 years old. So I was talking to him, I asked him, I says, Dad, at 100 years old, what's the most impressive thing you've ever seen? He thought for a minute, he says, the thermos bottle. I said, the thermos bottle? Wait a minute. You grew up in the Depression. You knew MacArthur personally. You see man on the moon. And the most impressive thing is the thermos bottle keeps hot things hot and cold things cold. He says, yes, but how does it know? My father's doing great, by the way. Excited, we're throwing a big party in April for him. He doesn't know about it yet because he would complain and tell us not to do it, but we're going to do it anyway. But what's impressive about my dad is that when Pastor Karen and I were involved in the healing rooms, we'd go home, we'd pray for him, pray for my mom, and we'd teach him how to pray. And he really got into this. And when the times were changing and we had to go to the next level, God brought us here to ABC because this is the next level. This is the highest level. Healers are great, don't misunderstand me. We prayed for approximately 25,000 people. We had huge miracles of cancers being eradicated, a deaf boy who never heard before. Suddenly says, Mommy, I can hear the music. I mean, things were exciting, you know. But we had to go to another level, so we came here to get the next training up. It's not easy. It is work. But then nothing worthwhile is easy. Would you agree with me on that? Okay. All right. So we came here. And for years we've been working and improving and working and improving. And one of the main things about ABC is that while we were great at the healing rooms, ABC is this ministry that's raised 13 people from the dead. It's a higher level. When Pastor Karen and I were attacked by certain demonic challenges, it was ABC that taught us how to defend ourselves from these challenges and how to have victory over them time and time again. So as I go through this message today, I'm going to encourage you that everything on ABC is online. Everything at ABC can be learned by just about anybody who wants to put in the work and effort. If you want to go to the next level, call up, we'll tell you how to do it, and start. We can get people to the next level because believe me, as I go through this, I believe you're going to want to get to the next level and be ready, okay? Now, I relate the end times to World War II because that's the most horrible thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth as far as I know of, okay? And I also believe that Jesus is coming back soon. Now, we may not know the day or the hour, but if this were a football game, I'm going to say we're at the 2-minute warning point. It's time to be prepared. I'm not saying cash your 401k plans and go take a wild trip. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? I'm saying get involved with Jesus. Let him lead you and guide you on what you need to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit on a continual, never-ending basis. Because if you don't have the right guidance, we're not trained for it. You can look around and see what's happening in the world and realize this is new territory. We've never been this way before. Okay. So in World War II, we had victory in Europe Day. That's when we finally conquered Berlin and we claimed victory over Europe. We had VJ Day. Now, VJ Day took the atomic bomb to bring the Japanese to surrender. I do not believe if we had, I believe if we had not dropped the atomic bomb, there would not be a Japan today. Japan was such a prideful race that they would have fought to the death. We didn't know at the time, they were probably 6 months to a year from starvation as an entire nation. We could just blockade and let them starve to death. If we would have taken it, millions and millions of lives would have been lost because everybody would have fought. In fact, you go back to World War II Berlin, Hitler sent out 12-year-old boys to fight the oncoming army. That's how bad it was. And they fought valiantly, by the way. But that's the kind of mentality that the enemy set up in these opposing countries. It is not the people that are bad. It is the demons that are pushing these people to do things. Hitler was a master orator. If you could have turned that over to good, imagine what could have happened in this world. Japan followed Hirohito, who they thought was their god, to all ends of the earth. Nothing could go wrong. Okay? It took something like the atomic bomb. They would not quit fighting. Were they beaten? Sure they were. They could barely muster up anything, but they would not surrender. And that's where the enemy is at today with us. He's beaten on the cross, no question about it, but he's not going to surrender. He's not going to surrender. We have our VJ day till victory with Jesus coming happens. Now, I had that picture up there the whole time that Annie painted of Jesus coming back on a white horse, because that's where we're at. Soon, this is going to happen. We will have our victory in Jesus' day. However, we must do what we need to do until that day arrives. Amen. Nobody knows the day and the hour, but the season is short. We're 2,000 years closer than we were today than when he died on the cross. Would you agree with me on that? Okay? All right. So, the title of this one is Semper Fi, Always Faithful. Part 2, always be ready in season and out of season. Okay? We must be prepared at all times, okay? The body of Christ is the most important army in the history of the earth. Now, basically, armies take dominion over land. That's what they do. They fight, but their goal is to take dominion and to conquer something, okay? Christians should be like the U.S. Marines, who are always fighting or preparing to fight spiritual battles so we can get set free from the snares of the devil. The model Marines is Semper Fi, which is Latin for always faithful. Jesus is coming back sooner than most people think. Christians who are always faithful will be prepared for the ending days by drawing closer to God, which results in becoming disciples and being set free from challenges. Therefore, we should always be sharing the gospel, always ready in season and out of season to minister to others, to help them get ready for the end time season that we're now entering into. Unfortunately, too much of the Christian church in the United States is very complacent. They're happy to go sit in their pew and do their thing and figure that they're saved and they don't have to worry about the rest of the world. That's not what we're here for. What's our first commandment, first order from God? Take dominion over this earth. We must always be ready at any time to be able to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. We must be able to do it without fear, or be ashamed of it, because that's what we're supposed to do. When Jesus meets you, you want to be able to look him in the eye and say, Jesus, I tried to do everything you asked me to do. The Bible says that no one knows the day nor the hour of the return of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24, but he who endures to the end will be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, then the end will come. I'm a post-tribulation person. Now, my theory on this is quite simple. Everything I look at and read about tells me it's going to come post-trib. But if I'm wrong, that's okay. I'd rather be prepared for a post-trib that doesn't come than not prepared for it, believe it's going to be a pre-trib, and not get out of here in time. Does that make sense? Okay? You know? At Pearl Harbor, they weren't prepared. Look what happened. Okay? But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and the end will come. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. Now, you go back to my World War II analogy. That was horrible. It was horrific. Millions of people died, misery, starvation, the pain, the misery. I can't even imagine how bad that was. I really can't. But I've talked to guys who were there and they can't even talk about it. It's going to be worse. It's because the Bible says so. I don't want it to be that way, but it's going to be. Jesus wants you to learn this lesson from the parable of the fig tree, that you know the season when its branches are already come tender, put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Now Pastor Joshua is an end times prophet. The Lord is greatly accurately used to navigate us through these turbulent times. We've seen this prophecy for the end times and have already been coming to pass. It is why to heed warning spoken by God through him to always be ready. I'm going to press this again. Always be ready. By studying the book of Revelation and the timeline in order to be prepared to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ who set free and is an overcomer who will inherit all things. Let's talk about always being ready. How many people know people who went to school and they didn't prepare for that exam? They weren't ready for it. What happened? They got a bad grade, probably flunked, right? Okay. You're being given a warning that there's time to prepare. Just like that student had time all semester long to prepare for that big exam. Okay? Great. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." There are going to be a lot of people trying to deceive us. They're going to be saying all kinds of things. They're very smart. Remember, Satan is a master deceiver. But we must stay true to the Lord. If it doesn't line up to what the Word of God says in the Bible, it's not true. "For then there will be great tribulation, for the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, and also becoming the Son of Man. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect." I believe that is going to be us. We're going to be part of that elect. "But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." Okay. Well, we should always be ready for in season, out of season. Always be ready to know what to do and be prepared. For the seals are about to be opened, as it says in the book of Revelation 6. That's what a lot of theologians believe. Pastor Josh believes the seal one's already been opened. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. In addition, shortly after seal 6 and seal 7 is open and trumpet 1 is sounded, the end of the age of grace will be coming to an end, as it says in the book of Revelation 8, and you will have had to practice long before and how to live in the age of the rod of iron. Furthermore, always be prepared by continuing to study the entire book of Revelation. Now, I don't know about you, but one time going through this stuff is not enough for me. In fact, every time I read the Bible, I've read this verse 100 times, I find something new. It's like amazing to me how I can, how did I see that before? You know, it's continually evolving. So we must continually be preparing. An example I'm going to give you is you think of somebody who takes martial arts and finally gets his black belt, then he doesn't practice for 10 years and goes to get into a match. He's not going to do very well. Okay, he's not kept up on his training. Okay. We must always be retraining ourselves for what's coming. Because the closer we train ourselves in this stuff, the better we're going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit and know the truth when the deceivers are going to try to lie to us. Is that fair enough? Okay. All right. The book of Revelation is taught deep inside the Messiah's second coming. Learn it well. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For believe in Jesus, died and rose again, and even so God will bring with him those who sleep or died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, that's us, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, lest we shall always be with the Lord. I want to be alive when Jesus does this. I want to remain. I want to see him and meet him up there. The word meet in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Matthew 25:1, a second coming parable, and Acts 18:15, refers to the custom of people who go out of the city to meet a conquering dignitary who's returned and grandly accompanies him along with the remaining distance of the gates to his home city. Think of the Roman generals who, when one conquers, they came back. The city went out to meet them and welcome them back into the city. So we also, with Jesus Christ at his coming, go up to the rapture to meet him and grandly welcome Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, back to the earth, who is returning to reign on the earth to defeat the enemy, as say in the book of Revelation. So as we're ready in season and out of season for Jesus to rule as our King of Kings forever. Okay. Now let's talk about opening of seals. The premise for opening of seal one is that countries are getting ready to start expanding their territories, probably in a military strength. You can look at China, who's built islands out in the Pacific, claiming that that whole area is theirs. These are also islands sent to be a military advance. They have landing strips on them so they can launch planes from there to attack probably Taiwan and other places that they deem are theirs as they put forth their manifestos. Russia, of course, you know, through the Ukraine and through other places, has been constantly trying to flex its muscle around. Iran is building their nuclear weapons. They don't care if their people starve. These people are fanatics about what they want to do. And their goal is to have every Jew go to Israel so they can blow them off the face of the earth at one time. That's what they want to do. And they don't care that the fallout of that radiation will kill many Muslims in the surrounding areas. All they do is hate the Jews and want to kill them. If they had a chance to kill us Christians, they would do that too in a nanosecond. This is being set up against us. This is the challenge that's coming. Look at what's happening in the world. Okay. We all know about the contravirus. I'm going to cover that in a minute. But maybe you don't realize how bad the plagues are over in Africa. There are plagues of locusts devouring entire countries as we speak. There's going to be a huge famine over there. Okay. One swarm of plague of locusts is 925 square miles. That's almost two times the city of Los Angeles. They expect these swarms to keep coming and coming and coming. One of them possibly being as big as 500 times that number. Now, 500 times that number is 462,500 square miles. To give you a visual of that, you take California, Texas, and stick South Carolina in there, that's about 462,000 square miles. That's just the bugs. That's not as they move across nations. That's how big the bugs were if they were just seated, standing in one place. That's how big the swarm is. Imagine the devastations that goes through. It's already through most of Africa. It's going into Egypt now. It's working its way across over to Asia. Times are really getting tough here. Okay. The coronavirus, it does not come from Corona beer. Amazingly, 23% of people polled thought that it did. Like, what? Seriously. 23% of people thought Corona beer, you know. Now, I did joke in my days of when I had companies, I never paid people on Friday because it came in Monday with the brown bottle flu, but that was a different story. But, yeah, they originally thought that it came from uncooked food, which when I heard that, I turned to my wife and said, see, I don't eat sushi for a reason. But as I read and research this, and I found some pretty people with very good credentials who basically agree with my theory, and it's not proven, this is a theory, but it makes sense. Wuhan, China, is where their biochemistry warfare plants are. Now, SARS came out of there, MERS came out of there, and now coronavirus came out of there. I fully believe it's something that got leaked. And they don't know what to do. Now, China, being the secretive country that it is, tried to keep it quiet. And I got a feeling it's really, really bad because they canceled Chinese New Year's. That's like us canceling Christmas. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that for 1,500 people. Okay, it's not going to happen. There's something more there. The doctor that got on Facebook to warn people about this was telling them how to prevent it from attacking them. It was very healthy at the time he placed those Facebook ads. 2 weeks later, he was full-blown with this virus. Now, I personally believe the Chinese government got him, filled him with this virus to make him an example that they don't like people talking about this. But thank God for him. I pray he's in heaven today because he saved millions of people. Okay? Now, on the flip side, China's in bad shape. Three of their major banks failed the last 2 years. They tried to float our version of their treasury bill, which we go out and borrow. They couldn't sell them all. They only sold about two-thirds of them. People are not buying there. Companies are leaving China left and right. One, because of the problems of the regime. Two, because of this coronavirus. They're trying to get out of there. There's a person who does business in China that they took his deposits. We wanted to get his money out of the bank. They wouldn't give it to him. They are really hurting. This is a communist socialist regime that we're talking about. We don't know what that means. Could they implode? Possibly. Could they decide their only chance is to create a war and do something else? Possibly. We don't know. My point is that we're seeing history at the change of the world, and we better be attuned to the Holy Spirit for whatever happens. There are people actually buying stuff at stores here and shipping it back to China to help them because they can't produce anything over there. I'm pausing for a purpose. I want this to sink in. These are challenging times. One challenge the United States has, we're pretty much isolated and complacent here. We cannot be complacent. France was complacent before World War II. They did not prepare. Okay? We must prepare. If we prepare and nothing happens, praise the Lord. We must prepare. Okay? We need to be ready in season, out of season. We're not to be afraid, but be prepared as God's spiritual warriors to overcome times of seal 6 of war, or seal 2 of war, seal 3 of famine, seal 4 of death, seal 5 of martyrs, seal 6 of earthquake, and seal 7, which initiates the 7 trumpets being blown. Now, what the devil means for bad, God will use for good. This is me speaking in my opinion. But as these times get more challenging, the people that have been resistant to the Lord Jesus are going to be opened up to receive. And the people you've been praying for that put these walls up, the challenges of the world will bring those walls down. And I believe that many, many people who are hiding and walking away will come to the Lord during that time. Again, we must be ready to know how to handle them and talk to them and tell them what to do to get them saved. In Jesus' name. Okay. War covenants. Fight the good fight of faith, preparing for the end times. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, which you are also called to have confessed, the good confession in the presence of man witnesses. Now, a while back, I was ministering to a couple. My wife and I were ministering to a couple. And the gentleman brought up a point. He says, when does it stop? When I get a chance to take a breather. And I responded to him. I says, remember the movie Rocky? And Apollo Creed had beaten Rocky and beaten Rocky and beaten Rocky and beaten Rocky, you know. And Rocky gets in the corner and Apollo's jumping around like he just wanted to fight. And Rocky gets up and says, come on, come on. And Apollo's whole emotions go, how could this go? That's what it's going to be like for us. The devil's going to attack. We're going to be attacked. We still got to be ready to get, okay, I'm ready for you now. Let's go. Now, the gentleman's wife was on the phone at that time. He said, that's a great analogy for males, but what are we supposed to do, the women? And I thought for a second, and the Lord dropped this in my heart. It says, you need to fight like a woman defending her child. Women who defend their child will do anything for them. You take a fighter with the capabilities of Muhammad Ali, put a woman defending her child in, I'm betting on that woman defending her child. She'll find some way to win. You know, there is nothing that woman won't do for that child. Okay? And that's the intensity of the battles we're going to be looking at here. Okay? I want you to think about that. I want you to be ready for that. Okay? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and long sufferings and teaching. Christians should be like the U.S. Marines, always fighting or preparing to fight. Now, don't misunderstand me. The SEALs are great. The other military branches are great. I'm not talking about that. But in this case, the Marines go in and take strongholds. And they hold them there a lot of times so the Army can come in and support things. But they're the ones who hit the beaches first. They're the ones who go in first. But they're always a unit together. The special forces go in and do their job and come out. These guys go in and stay and take control. They take dominion over things. And many parts of the world are afraid of the United States Marines because of their reputation. Okay. But there's a story that the Taliban was raiding back to their headquarters. We need help. We need help. We're under attack. Okay, we'll send help. Who's attacking you? We got six Marines against us. We can't come help you. We need a spiritual toughness inside of us that no matter what happens, we're ready for it. If somebody out there gets a diagnosis of coronavirus, they need to be able to laugh at it and say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Okay? And believe it in your heart. And not give an inch of doubt to the enemy to let that lay hold. Okay? Jesus said to choose life abundantly or choose to have the devil steal, kill, or destroy you. That's John 10:10. Thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. Now, the devil will do anything against you. If he can't get to you, he'll get to those close to you if he can. Okay? Children, good friends, brothers, sisters, whatever. He doesn't care. He hates. Period. Okay? And we have to be ready for when that attack comes. Now, I ministered to several of you here who have children that are in challenged positions. Okay? Keep praying for them. Keep believing. Do not get discouraged just because they're still going through challenges, just because it's taken time and it hasn't broken through yet. You're still planting and watering. When the time is right, you will know. But do not give up. There is no reason to quit on God ever. Amen? Okay. John 10:10, choose life better than you've ever imagined it. You fight an enemy that's already been defeated, so just because they're defeated doesn't mean you stop fighting. Okay? You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, for most people in the Christian community, they're not trained for this. They hear that, think that's nice. They think they can say a couple quick prayers, it's done. Our foe is formidable. He's been doing this for thousands of years. He knows every trick in the book. He's ready and prepared. We must go against him being ready and prepared with confidence. Too many people think that they just believe Jesus is going to do it for them. I don't see that in my Bible. If you find that in the Bible, show me. Okay? I see where Jesus uses us to win the battles. But we have to use us with our faith to go forward, to take control of the situation, and to push back this enemy as far as we can. Now, some people say, well, the prophecies must be fulfilled. Yes, that is true. However, my Bible doesn't say, lay down, let the prophecies run over you. My Bible that I read says, we have to do our part, and we should do our part until Jesus returns. Okay? How much better would it have been if France had been prepared for Germany and stalled them off for a while when they attacked? But they weren't ready. Okay? We must be ready. We must be prepared. You're being warned the attack is coming. There's no putting our head in the sand and praying that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. The question is, are you ready for it? Okay? You must overcome the godless world and have dominion over your heart, soul, mind, body, tongue, and finances, or the devil will take dominion over you. Let me repeat that. You must have command over your heart, soul, mind, tongue, finances, or the devil will take dominion over you and mine. If you ever see somebody that's really training for something, they train every aspect of what they're doing. If it's a boxer, they run, they do exercises, they work on every punch, they work on every block, and they work mentally to be prepared to go up against that opponent. If somebody's just trying to create music somewhere, they work on every aspect of that. They can do the whole thing perfectly. I once met Stevie Wonder's sound technician. He says, Stevie will do something 10,000 times so he gets it just exactly the way he wants it. It's going to be some time. It's going to be some work. Okay, we must prepare ourselves, every part of us. Okay, how important is our tongue? How important is our finances? With all due respect to the great men and women of World War II, who did a valiant job, it was our economy that won that war. We kept producing tanks, we kept producing ships, we kept producing guns. We starved Japan out of oil so they couldn't send their ships out. Okay, because we kept our men supplied, they were able to fight longer. Okay, a German soldier on the Eastern Front had either a bowl of soup or two pieces of bread for a day. They weren't supplied well. Our guys were fairly well supplied. My uncle said the food in the army was great. I asked one of the guys from our hometown was a cook. And he, as far as I know, he never fired a shot. But he was given the order of being a cook. He said, I'm going to be the best cook I can for these guys. And when they came home, he gave them a really great meal. And they really looked forward to a really good meal. My point being this here. The finances kept our guys in the fight. Too many Christians are out there not financially prepared. And too many Christians are going to find they want to do something, but they can't. All right. If you don't have dominion over these, you will not be ready for a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds of the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. People are being challenged with sickness, disease, because of lack of knowledge and think it's a natural occurrence. Okay. Everything coming against us in any way, shape or form is demonic. If it's sickness, if it's financial challenges, if it's strife with somebody else, it's all demonic. It all has a demonic root. We take care of the root, and then we take care of the problem. But if you don't get rid of that root, the weed keeps growing back, right? Okay. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I, God, will also reject you from being a priest for me, because you've forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. That there lies how important it is for us to do our part. I don't want God forgetting our children. Okay. We have a covenant with God. We don't break it. We fight to overcome challenges until we get the victory. Okay? You cannot defeat somebody who doesn't quit. How many movies have you seen where at the last second the guy comes up and wins the battle? You know, Bond is a perfect example. He's beaten. They're ready to kill him. But that's okay because he's Bond, right? Okay? That's script written. The truth is we have our God. And our Holy Spirit knows how to tell us everything we need to do. We have to do our part, continually listen to them, continually hear him, listen. Okay. B, we proceed from level to level. We go from glory to glory, precept by precept, line upon line. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay. Number two, friendship with the world is being an enemy of God. Now we have a challenge that the world wants us to be their friends. The Catholic Pope is speaking very warmly with the Muslim leaders of the world. I respect knowing and understanding, but you cannot merge the religions. We have to stand firm. The homosexual community has taken on extremely offensive issues against Christians, and they're attacking us at every core. They're trying to tell some Christian-owned stores they can't open up in certain areas, which is totally against our laws. But they are doing what they can do to fight back, and too many people are being complacent about it. We cannot be friends with their ideals. Now, I have homosexual friends. Don't misunderstand me. I have people I know that are great people, that I pray for them, and I work with them. And they treat me with respect on the other side. They know where I stand. You know, we don't cross those boundaries in each other's lives. But I can never agree with their ideals. I can never stand and say, yes, I agree that it's okay for you to be with that person of the same sex. I can't do that. And I don't shun them because I want that door open. That when he needs a chance to get prayer, he will come to me. But I can never accept that ideal. We have a parade down here in Hollywood that's so disgusting and vile that if any of us did that, we'd be arrested in a nanosecond. And what's really bad is they bring 8-year-old kids out to see this parade. And they tell kids this is okay. There are books in school that teach kids that this is okay. It's not okay. I got into a transgender discussion with one of the guys at my office, and he's very, very liberal. And he's Jewish, and he's a good Jew. I said, well, tell me. Why don't you read Genesis? Tell me how many genders God made. Everything else is a counterfeit. He shut up. He didn't have an answer for that. We cannot be a friend of this world. I know a gentleman. He worked for the Limited. He was one of the senior vice presidents. Back in the day, the Limited was a really good store. Had stores all across the United States. It was doing fantastic. And then he decided to go into Victoria's Secrets, which is basically sexual challenges for a lot of people. And he went to the owner of the store and said, I cannot be a part of this. My Christian beliefs won't let me do this. And the owner of the company says, you don't have a choice. So he left. He left behind $8 million in options because he wasn't vested yet in the company. But that's the character it was for this man to say, I cannot be a friend of the world. I cannot justify this and do this for 2 years till I get my options. I have to walk away from this. We must be of that caliber too. No matter what the cost, if it goes against God, we must be willing to walk away. And it's a tough choice. It's a really tough choice. You put all your life into something and you're so close to receiving the gold ring and you walk away. That's true faith in God, by the way. James 4:4, the Living Bible says, you are like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. You don't realize making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of the world, makes you an enemy of God. I say again, if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasure of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. Let me repeat that. If your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasure of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. We do still live in the world. We must use discernment over everything that we do. For example, I like watching the Super Bowl. Now this year I didn't watch Super Bowl because of other reasons, but if we would have watched the Super Bowl this year, I would not have watched the halftime show because I knew it was coming on. Okay? We're in a battle. Prepare to fight level to level. The enemy will constantly throw bigger and bigger challenges at you. You must be constantly ready to take on bigger and bigger challenges. Okay. Knowledge sets you free if you continue in the Word. Isaiah 28:8-10. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make understand the message? Just those weaned from milk, just those drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay. Keep building little by little. When you get into the ABC teachings, it's going to look like a lot. And it's a challenge for some people to just walk away at that point. However, for those who do and follow and get into it, just take it one step at a time, build upon build, build upon build, build upon build. It's no different than somebody taking martial arts. They start as a white belt, then they go to green, then they go to brown, then they go to black. But black is the middle ground. There's 10 degrees of black belt above the original black belt, you know, just to let you know. But it's a continual, never-ending thing. And it's not going to happen overnight. But that being said, the sooner we get started on this, the better we're ready for the fights that are coming. Okay. If you want to be set free, you must become a disciple. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not all Christians will be set free, but those who become disciples of Jesus Christ. They are the saved, they are the disciples. They're two different. I don't want to be just saved. I don't want Jesus to have the opportunity to vomit me out of his mouth, as he says he will, for those who are lukewarm. I don't want anybody I know to be in that position. I don't want my family to be in that position. Okay? We must really, before God, 100%, totally, unconditionally. Amen? Okay. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of the Lord, of Jesus our Lord. If your days are not joyful and triumphant, then you must get more knowledge to set free from the lies of the devil. Too many people are still fighting challenges. Too many people are not having victories. Why? We need to go back to the scriptures and find out what the reason is, what the root cause is. Okay? Doctors are great. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad for what they do. However, that being said, we need to find what the demonic root is and get rid of it. Now, let's go back to my father. At 95 years old, this guy would walk up and down the bowling alley praying for people who were sick. That's pretty cool. He would take the ABC teachings that he absorbed. He read his scriptures every single day. He did his daily prayers that we set out for him. And when he saw somebody in trouble, he would say, "Let me pray for you." And he then tell me about all the people he had that helped. It was really cool. Okay. Why? Because these things work. They really do. Okay. Don't oppose yourself by having a lack of knowledge, which allows the devil to attack you. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Now, patient is a key word here. Too often when we say something to somebody, they don't get it the first time, people give up on them. You can't do that. You plant a seed, you water it, you let it grow. You're there when the harvest comes. It doesn't come immediately sometimes. Sometimes it does. It's great. We walk up to somebody and they say, "Hey, that's great. I want to receive Jesus Christ right away." Wonderful. I love when that happens too. But don't be discouraged just because there's been a challenge. You don't know that person's past. You don't know what's kept him from accepting right away. You don't know what the issue is that he has to work through. But you plant a friendly seed. Let God do his work. You may not even be the person who gets the harvest. It doesn't matter. If you plant a seed and somebody else gets the harvest, that's okay. What matters is that you have planted the seed. Nothing grows if you don't plant the seed. Okay? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So, with my homosexual friends, I've let them know that I can't agree with their position. Okay? If God perhaps would grant them repentance that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Those people are captive of the devil. look at them like prisoners of war. They've been brainwashed. They're really challenged. You're their way out. Sometimes they don't know they need to leave. We had that happen. We found certain prisoners of war that had been captured and had been there for a long time. They didn't know we were there to save them. We had to convince them to come out. It's pretty amazing. They call it Stockholm Syndrome. They actually come aligned with their captors. They're so around them so much, they're so brainwashed by these people who are so evil and decadent, but that's what happens. I don't know if that's a defense mechanism of some kind, but whatever it is, you still have to convince the people gently. We're here for you. We'll pray for you. But now is your time to leave this prison the devil set up for you. Take a step towards God, he will take a step towards you. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Speaking of the Word of God through affirmations is doing a level spiritual warfare using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, these things that I want you to affirm constantly. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Ephesians 6:18, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want you to think of something. Charmaine over here was Soldier of the Year. Charmaine was so good at her weaponry that she could fire and reload more rounds faster than any man in her unit. He took my line. She was called Trigger Happy Adams. Okay. Now, what's important about that is you don't fire one shot and walk away. You fire until you've won the battle. Okay? If I've got to have somebody say 100 times, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, say it 100 times. Sometimes it doesn't happen the first time. Why? Doubt and unbelief in certain things, challenges certain things, doesn't matter. The bottom line is, what matters is you keep building your faith up by speaking the Word of God. When you speak the Word of God, you hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And if you're saying it enough times, eventually things come around to you. Okay? So do affirmations. Speak on it over and over again. Now, I'm not saying pray over it a second time. I didn't say that. You pray over something once, but you speak over it until you have the victory. You plant a seed once, you water it and fertilize it until it grows up. Use the Word of God to get your victories. Okay? Faith must be released through action and word. Mark 11:22 to 25. And Jesus answering them, saith unto them, have faith in God. Okay. Does everybody here have faith in God? Anybody not have faith in God? Come see me afterwards, okay? Great. For verily I say to you, whatever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay? Now, you speak to your challenge. You use the Word of God against your challenge, and you do that until you have victory. Okay? Therefore I say to you, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you and your trespasses. Now that's a key point there. If anybody's offended you in any way, shape, or form, and you haven't forgiven them, your prayers are not. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He took more pain, more suffering, more humiliation, more challenge than anything we can even think of or imagine. And if he can do that, whatever is stuck in your craw, get rid of it. Because unforgiveness is like a poison you're holding on to. Okay? The Word of God changes from glory to glory. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror as the glory of the Lord, being transformed to the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Section C, justified by your words. Your words are justified out of your mouth, Matthew 12:37. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I want you to think about that. Do you ever let your mouth just fly? I know I've been guilty of that a lot of times. Words are like bullets in a gun. You can't put them back in once the trigger's been pulled. Okay, so think carefully before you say something. Watch your words. If you can't say something right, just put your hand over your mouth and shut up. If you say something that causes strife in somebody, you're committing a sin. If you say something that is not edifying of God, now it doesn't mean you don't correct them, but you correct them in a loving way. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you how to say what you need to say. When demons hear the word of God, it's like pouring hot water on them. So you pray the petition prayer, the prayer of faith one time. If you don't know what that is, we can take you to Healing School Semester 1. I'll show you what that is. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever so you desire, pray that you believe you have received them, you shall have them. Then affirm the word of God many times to see the change. Three steps of the cycle change will set you free, according to Healing School Semester 2. Renew your mind by studying the word of God. Deposit the word of God into your heart by acting on it. Speak the word of God to set you soul free. What leads you to sin? Let me describe for you a worthless and wicked man. First, he is a constant liar. He signals his true intentions to his friends with his eyes, feet, and fingers. They wink and make gestures to deceive you. The tongue leads you to sin because nobody can control his or her tongue except you give control to the Holy Spirit. And the demons, devil, and evil spirits can cause your tongue to lie, be deceitful, be hypocritical. Your eyes can lead you to sin because the demons, devil, and evil spirits can cause your eyes to be deceived and have lust of the eyes. Your feet can lead you to sin because demons, devil, and evil spirits can cause your feet to run and do evil with thoughts of sinning wherever you go. Demons, devil, and evil spirits leave behind a trail of misery. Your hand gestures and body language can lead you to sin because the demons, devil, and evil spirits can cause your hand gestures or body language to be deceitful or have lust of the flesh or have enticement. Okay. As we watch our body language, we're sending messages out to everybody out there. If you're a Christian and somebody cuts you off in the freeway and you wave them a nasty signal with your hand, you're sending a message. I worked for a company one time and the product was good, but they wanted me to embellish how good it was. And I told the owner, I can't do that. He says, these little lies don't matter. I said, yes, they do. I can't do that. Just tell them how good it is and you'll be fine. You'll make more money in the long run by being truthful. You know, I've always taken the concept of under-promise and over-perform. But a lot of people in the world don't want to do that. They want to mislead people and do things. And you see a poor man who's all dressed up like he's worth $1 million. He's using that to deceive people sometimes. I'm not saying don't look your best. That's not what I'm saying. But don't go out and rent a fancy car. Just try to impress people so you can do something. Your actions carry weight behind you. Be truthful in all things. Okay. So how do you get set free from the sins of the tongue, eyes, and feet, and hand gestures or body language? We break curses over your tongues, eyes, feet, and hand gestures. And for that, we'll go to Healing School Semester 2 and Semester 3. Do affirmations for your tongue, eyes, and feet, and hand gestures or for your tongue. God has made the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart pleasing to Him. If you say this over and over, God has made the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart pleasing to Him, you have a real big challenge doing something that doesn't please the Lord. Because you're speaking it. This is what I want. I want to do things that please God. I want my heart to please God. I want my tongue to please God. If your heart and tongue please God, you're probably going in the right direction. Okay. A new affirmation is, in the name of Jesus, God has given me all the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart to line up with the Word of God. Affirmation for your eyes. In the name of Jesus, God helps me. For the lust of my eyes, the Holy Spirit enlightens my eyes with my understanding. Okay, you know, advertisers are real good about that. They put something out there to make people want it by looking at it. It looks nice, you know. The newest car, the newest this, the newest that, you know. The people that dress provocatively, you know, causes the eyes to lust. We have to be very, very careful over our eyes not to let those things pull us in the wrong way. And raise your feet in the name of Jesus. God helps my feet to never stumble in sin and walk by the Spirit of God. That's based on Isaiah 59:7, 2 Peter 1:10, and Galatians 5:16 put together for that one. And for your hand and gestures and body language, in the name of Jesus, God help me, I do not lust or gratify the desires of my flesh. Okay. For those of you who've been in through the healing schools, you know what a three witness is. If not, we can, when you get there, we'll talk to you about that a little more. But the three witnesses bind up the demons, devils, evil spirits, your tongue, eyes, feet, hand, body gestures, body language, if you have completed. If you're a graduate of healing school three, then you can cast them out and wash out the demons, devils, evil spirits out of these things. However, if you're not a graduate and you do not know how to keep them out, do not be casting things out until you're properly trained not to let them back in. Because when they come back with sevenfold. It's challenging. We had a guy at the healing rooms that came in one time before we knew this, and we cast demons out of him. He was great for about 3 months. He came back in so bad, so worse, it was unbelievable. His wife was crying, don't send me home with him, don't send me home with him, don't send me home with him. Cast those demons out again. He says, no. He won't keep them out. What you need to do is come back to us every week for a season. Let us work with you and train you. So when you cast them the next time, you can keep them out, because I don't want 49 coming back when these seven leave. We have to be very careful what we do. The Word of God is powerful. It's only used the way you can only use it properly. Otherwise, you can call harm. What's the first thing a doctor does in medicine? Cause no harm. Right? That's the first thing they do. Make sure they don't cause any harm by what they're doing. Okay? We can cause no harm with our words. We've got to be very, very careful. Know the power of your prayers and what you're doing to make sure that we don't cause issues and challenges for people. Okay. D, always faith-filled, always be ready, in season, out of season. Okay. Semper Fidelis is Latin for always faithful. It's the motto of the United States Marines. The Latin word which means faith, faithful, and loyal is the same word. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Now, what does that mean? Will he really find faith on earth? Okay. I think he's looking for a higher level of faith. I think he's looking for the disciples that want to be discipled after him, that have gone the extra mile, that are doing what needs to be done. I don't think people just have said the Savior prayer once and are there. He's looking for the faithful people that he can trust to impart and to have us work with him in the future. Develop all the fruit of the Spirit to help you always be ready. However, faith and patience are two keys that will help you become an overcomer. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Christians who get set free are the faithful ones who will attend church. I recommend more than once a week. I don't think anybody here showers once a week. I think that you need church often. You need to constantly be in prayer with him. Okay? Don't wait to increase your commitment level towards the Lord. Start today. It's tough. I know that. I understand that there are challenges out there, and the devil keeps putting more challenges on everybody to try to erode our time. But somehow you must put God first and work the challenges around God. If you do put God first, you'll find those challenges are taken care of easily. You know. Now, I do mine because I got an advantage. I drive about an hour and a half to 2 hours every day. So in my car, I can do a lot of my prayers, my tongue prayers, my affirmations. I can do them there, which cuts down the amount of time I have to do other things. So I'm pretty much locked into that. But whether I'm in a car or not, I can still set aside 2 hours to do what I need to do. Okay. 2 hours is less than 10% of your day. Just put it in perspective, okay? Start by getting the sin out of the eyes, because sight accompanies sin. All you can sin out of your tongue, feet, and hand gestures, and body language. Prepare by getting set free, because the Lord is coming back soon. I cannot stress that enough. Guard your heart without diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, and guard your eyes. Jesus prayed, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep and protect them from the evil one. This here is one of the verses that tells me it's going to be a post-tribulation. Because Jesus says, do not take them out of the world. Well, if Jesus says, do not take them out of the world, why is they going to take them out of the world? I mean, would God override Jesus' words? Would Jesus speak something that wasn't true? If he supposed it wasn't true, he wouldn't be the Christ. Am I correct? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you to get prepared. I believe that everybody here, I don't care what age you are, can do what needs to be done. If you were not here for a reason, God would have taken you home already. Everybody here has something special God wants them to do. Your duty is to find out what that is. And how do you do that? You spend more time with him. You put him first. Okay? He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Always be ready in season out by doing all these things. Be ready when the time is right. Even when it does not keep sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Okay. We must be prepared. Okay. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer with me. Okay. Okay. So, if you will, Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I consecrate my tongue,
eyes, feet,
hand gestures, as well as my body language to you. In the name of Jesus,
God has made
the words of my mouth
and meditations of my heart
pleasing to him.
In the name of Jesus,
God has given me
all the words of my mouth
and meditations of my heart
that line up with the Word of God.
In the name of Jesus,
God helps me.
I do not lust with my eyes.
And the Holy Spirit
enlightens
the eyes of my understanding.
In the name of Jesus,
God helps my feet
never to stumble in sin,
and helps me walk
by the Spirit of God.
In the name of Jesus,
God helps me
that I do not lust
or gratify
the desires of my flesh.
Praise the Lord. So I want to thank you all. I know this was a little more challenging message than I usually deliver, but we're facing more challenging times. And I want to see everybody with me when we all go to meet Jesus. Amen?